Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Yeah, welcome into another edition of Talking Guns. Devin and Gavin, you guys out with us?
We are. We need to change that name, the Jefferson Shooter. Somebody finally called. Some woman called the other day and said, "Is this the Jefferson Shooters Club?" And I thought of you. I thought, yeah, it is. It is on the radio, at least. It's the Jefferson Shooters Club.
What name would you like?
Well, the Shooters Club is what we're formally known as.
Just the Shooters Club.
Yeah, just the Shooters Club.
Well, we'll put that in.
And Jefferson
we'll have
Gun
the
Outlet. And
Jefferson Gun Outlet. I guess they get it mixed. I guess they merge the two into one super being of the Jefferson Shooters Club, which I'll take it.
Yeah, we'll just soon leave well enough alone.
This is
okay.
True.
Well, yeah, because they might mess it
but
up.
But some woman said, "Is this the Jefferson Shooters Club?" I said, "Yeah, it sure is." Thought of you.
What did she want? What was her purpose?
Oh, I don't remember. I'm on that phone all day. She wanted to talk about the price for shooting or you know how much it cost or something.
That's
like
your
that.
Your customer, you gotta take care of.
Absolutely, all day. She can call. I've been called a lot worse. She can call the store or me, whatever she wants.
You got it. Well, what are you guys gonna talk about today?
Well, we got a Glock Day coming up. I think Gavin's gonna go over some laws that are coming or mainstream.
No, Castle Doctrine. People get it greatly confused as to what they can do with Castle Doctrine. Are we going into that now, or are we just giving us a doctor?
Well, just kind of, yeah, you can start on that. But one thing, while I did want to bring up gun laws, because there's been a lot of confusion. You know, we have federal laws, we have state laws, and then we have municipality laws. And right. I would like you, but since you stay up and research that stuff, how does a guy know which one to obey if they're conflicting laws?
Good
Who do
question.
You go by? Who's, which law supersedes which?
None of them are supposed to supersede federal law, but they all do. They all do. It depends greatly where you are. New York City, Philadelphia, all those kind of places, the whole state of New Jersey. You know, technically, just a quick one on that, we have a law in the United States that was passed back in the 80s that says if you're traveling around with a gun in a car, you have safe passage to wherever you're going as long as the gun's safely contained in the car, like just in a case in the car. They're not supposed to hassle you. You know as well as I do, that depends on what state border you cross. New Jersey will arrest people for carrying the wrong way or whatever and tell you, yeah, we've heard of the Firearm Owners Protection Act. Try it as a defense when you get to court and see if it helps.
Right. Look at weed in California, you know, compared to federally, it's still supposed to be illegal, right? But it's, California does.
Yeah, it's illegal most places. That's why they can't use banks and they all have cash. And now they all have little armies guard them because they know they have cash, you know. Vicious circle.
Well, you know, what brought this to mind was I saw this week that a couple of cities in Ohio are suing the federal government for denying their constituents to have bump stocks. You know, everybody heard when the bump stock thing came up.
Right.
President Trump has outlawed bump stocks. No more bump stocks. So that, you think, is federal law. But yet here are some Ohioans. I think the group is called Ohioans for Gun Laws or something like that. They are not taking that. They say, no, we're not going to abide by that. And they went to their city council to get it approved the way they could do it. Now, are they within their right? Or are they in violation of federal law? Does it depend on who is it? If it's a local city official or enforcement officer that stops them, does he cite them for disobeying federal law? Is he good with it or what? How does that work?
Yes, no, yes.
Great answer.
That's the closest I can come on that one. You know, it's going to depend on who introduces it. It happens every year here. Somebody, usually from New Orleans, when we have a legislative session, they want to introduce a ban on some kind of firearm and or you know, assault weapons, things that hold more than two bullets because it's dangerous, all that kind of stuff. Even tasers.
Yeah. Well, I do want you to get into the Castle Doctrine confusion and clear that up. But before that, Devin, you have a special edition gun product this month that we're going to talk about later. Is it going to be a live interview?
No. I'm just going to go over it with you. We have a Glock Day coming up, not this weekend, but next weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We're going to have a Glock rep out at the store on Airline, Jefferson Gun Outlet. And free range time, you're going to get a couple goodies if you buy a Glock from us on that weekend. T-shirt, free range time, a chance to win a gun, you know, another gun from the one that you bought. Mm-hmm. We do it once a year. It's really fun. You know, a lot of people show up. We have a lot of really competitive under map pricing Glocks. Mm-hmm. You know, it saves you $60 or so if you buy a Glock that day.
Plus I got a really nice looking Glock shirt, man. They make a nice,
they do.
Like a college golf type shirt.
Some of my favorite shirts are gun manufacturers and gun accessory companies. They make for some reason, I don't know why, they make really comfortable nice shirts.
Yeah. Do you think that would give you a bit of respect or safety by walking around wearing a shirt that promotes a gun product? What would that say to a would-be thug?
Right. I don't know. I don't really like advertising any of that. You know what I mean? I don't put any of that on my
car. It may deter. If I'm a thug and I'm going to try to rob somebody and one of them's got a firearm Glock shirt on and the other one's got a rainbow shirt or something like that, guess who I'm going after?
Yeah.
I don't know.
You're
going to
pick on
the
guy with the rainbow shirt?
Maybe they're not that smart. You know, I don't know.
Maybe they can read them. Maybe I think it's a 50-50.
Then again, the rainbow guy may pull out a concealed weapon and end it right there.
Exactly.
Too. So it's hard to judge. You really can't judge. But I'm just thinking that might be their mentality.
And in this town, we have professionals, so I don't know if I'd try to bluff anybody.
Yeah, those professionals will call you bluff. A lot of people think that Glock, the way it's written, says lock. Mm-hmm. And a bunch of people, when I'm standing in line at Popeyes, ask me if I can pick a lock because they need a locksmith. I don't know. I finally connects with me in my brain, and I said, "No, it's a gun company. I can't let you into your house if you lock the keys out of you. It's not a locksmith company. It's a gun company." And then they really look at you funny.
Well, we'll get to that Glock Day. That's going to be a big day for you guys.
That's when you should come. You should come next weekend.
I'm going to try to make it. Yeah, it should
be. How's your knee, by the way?
The mobility. I mean, I went frogging the other night. I'm getting back in the boat finally this coming Thursday to go tape a fishing report. I can move on it really good. The incision is pretty much perfectly healed. But I never thought there was going to be this much pain associated with it.
Wow.
And I have been in constant pain since the surgery. The meds that they give me help somewhat. But the pain is finally starting to ease up after over 5 weeks after the surgery. And I asked one guy who had it done. He says, "Oh, yeah, you'll feel the pain for about a year." I said, "Uh-uh. I ain't got a year time for pain.
Right.
I ain't putting up with pain for – I ain't even going 6 months. I'm figuring a couple more weeks and should be gone. The swelling's mostly down, and it's coming back pretty nice. It's just dealing with a little bit of pain. But, I mean, hey, I was dealing with pain before I got it, too. So
yeah, is it more or less? That's the point.
Yeah, right. Right now it's more, but it's going to get less and then eventually be much less and probably none by the time hunting season gets here. So anyway, let's take the break. When we come back, Gavin, get you to talk about that Castle Doctrine and really explain in detail what that really means. We're talking guns. Devin Burgess, Gavin Sashery, I'm Don Dubuque, and you are who you are. If you want to talk with us, 260-6368. Prefer to text and remain anonymous or give us your name. Either way, 870-870 comes here to the studio. We'll be right back after this. And want to remind you about the 23rd annual Archbishop Rummel Alumni Fishing Rodeo, August 17th and 18th. It's an open launch. That means you fish in any Louisiana waters on both Friday and or Saturday. You weigh in at the school's campus 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. on the Saturday. There are different divisions for adults and youth. The registration fees, very reasonable, $35 for an adult. And it's only $15 for the youth entry fee. There's a family festival that goes along with it from 2 to 5. Rides for the kids, exhibits, demonstration, lots of food, lots of fun. Meet your old alumni, family, friends there. And, hey, you don't have to be Rummel community to come. It's open to everyone. Get your ticket, fish the 17th and or 18th, and then bring your fish for the weigh-in at the campus on Severn Avenue in Metairie on August 18th from 2 to 5. And I'll see you there. And don't forget 87087 if you prefer to text us a message or a question coming in here. Gavin, let's talk about the Castle Doctrine. Exactly what is it and what does it mean?
All right. Number one, Louisiana is a stand-your-ground state, which means that if, as long as you can legally be wherever you are, when an attack on your person takes place, you have no duty to retreat from that attack before you use any type of force in your own defense. Castle Doctrine is that same principle, but you apply it to being inside your house, inside your business, inside your car, et cetera. As long as you can legally be in one of those places, when an attack on your person takes place, you have no duty to retreat from that attack before you use any type of force in your own defense. You're also allowed to compel somebody to leave if your presumption is that they're trying to forcibly break in the house, et cetera. Where people go bad, and I listen to this every week, and just lately it's gotten worse, is they feel that owning that gun, or just because something's going to happen in the house, it's a license just to blast them, murder. You know, you hear that all the time. If he's in my house, he's going to die. You don't get the right to do that. It's a difficult spot, I know, to be in on that side, but they have to be doing something when they break in. I can't just find you in the kitchen and shoot you because I feel like it. You know, you have to be doing something that presents what I feel is going to end in a threat of grave bodily injury or death for me or somebody else with me in that house. You just find somebody in the kitchen, technically they're trespassing. You don't get to use force and kill them for that reason. You know, people also, they misunderstand. They think because it happened in my house, there'll be no investigation. There's going to be an investigation, and they're probably going to scrutinize you harder than if it was out on the street somewhere. Because, you know, you're outside that house, there are cameras everywhere now. You know, I would plan on, if I was outside my home, there's whatever happens is going to be on some kind of camera and social media within 30 minutes. You know how that goes. If I'm in the house, it's a little bit different story. You know, they also believe that having a handgun permit gives them some kind of higher power inside the house than they would have had before. It doesn't. The only thing, as you know, the only thing that permit does is give you the right to conceal that gun on your person out in public. But they greatly forget that Castle Doctrine is not a license to kill. You know, it doesn't cover you for anything. It doesn't give you any kind of absolution. There's no Good Samaritan law when it comes to finding somebody in the house. I would throw all that I was in fear of my life stuff out the window simply because I can't shoot you because I'm mad at you, and I can't shoot you because I'm scared of you. Both of those things are emotions, and that's what's going on up in my head. I got to have the reasonable belief that what's ever going on or whatever threat you present by being in the house is going to cause grave bodily injury or death.
Not to mention, I don't know if you want to kill everybody in your home. You know, what if it's a...
It's a lot of talk.
It could be a lot of people that could be wrongly in your
wrongly
home.
Wrongly in the home.
But
it could, you know.
That doesn't mean you can kill them. Like, what if I say the same thing over and over, and I guess it kind of gets old from hearing it, but if the, you know, somebody who's mentally handicapped accidentally wanders on your property for whatever reason,
right,
if they're young or old, you know,
I had
you
perfect
blow their
situation
head off,
a couple of weeks ago. I had a student who, when they were bringing groceries in and out of the house, his son was helping him, and he's like 6 or 7 years old. He left the keys in the front door, and because he left the keys in the door, when they shut it, it didn't lock. It reopened. They didn't know it because it was only open a couple of inches. Went to bed. Well, a neighbor comes home, and 3 or 4 hours later, the door's wide open. So he wandered in the house to make sure that they were okay. And when he came charging down the hallway because he heard somebody, you know, it's his neighbor standing there looking at him. If what's in your head right away is, if anybody's in here, I have to kill them, you got problems. You know, you got problems.
You don't want to deal with the back end of that either. You're going to be dealing with a court case for years.
For years, I try to tell people you have to, you know, if I pull that trigger and call it self-defense now, I would not be surprised to spend $100,000 to defend what I did, whether it was right, wrong for me or for somebody else. And it's going to eat up 3 years of your life or four, you know. And like you said, you got the back end of that. I have going to jail. I have that sticking with me for the rest of my life. There's a huge downside to it. You know, it's a
not
lot of
to
BS.
Not to take away from defending your your property, but your life, the lives of the people you care about, the home that you've built. But a lot of times what comes out of that end result is negative because you know, there's more to the story than somebody that's just going to come in and kill you. It's somebody that's accidentally there or that's there, like Gavin said, to help you. Maybe your keys are, you know, on the front porch and
yeah, and it's not so much to defend the home I built. People mistake that, too. It's to defend everybody that's in that home. If I just pull up in my driveway and Don is running out with my TV, I should not just blast him. I should let him go because he's leaving. You know, call 911, make a claim on your homeowners for that TV, and, you know, you can buy a new TV way cheaper than it's going to cost you to sit with a lawyer for 3 hours. Way cheaper. You know, it's a lot of BS. In the old days, people would take this class, and it was, you know, if they're in the house, you kill them, wink, 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 or if they're in the yard, shoot them and drag them inside. It's not the case anymore. Forensics is going to catch you. I would not bet that nobody knows what I've said or what I've done if I'm yelling threats and everything else in that house. That smartphone you have is recording everything you do 24/7. People don't think so, but, you know, talk about black polo shirts long enough. Pick that phone up, hit Google, and by the time you get BLA in, you'll have black polo shirts in the top three choices. Somebody can access that data. You know, don't tell me that they can't. You got that Amazon Alexa, all that stuff now. Everything's recording. They just put a woman in jail. I think it was in Nevada off of a Fitbit, you know, like that. She killed her husband. She was wrong. She killed her husband and said she didn't know about it till she woke up in the morning when she went downstairs after, you know, 6 hours. Somebody had bashed his head in like 9 times with a brick. She didn't hear it. They didn't believe her, of course. They subpoenaed her Fitbit. And when they got a time of death from the coroner, at 1 o'clock in the morning, she wasn't sleeping. Her heart rate was like in an exercise range, and the Fitbit recorded so many steps.
The old Fitbit.
Yeah, you wouldn't think so, but, you know, somebody, something is
Fitbit
always watching.
Brings you down like usual.
Well, you know, you're right about the computers and all these tracking mechanisms, finding out everything about you. You know, we've got HIPAA laws right now that protect mm-hmm. people as far as their privacy and medical records. Tell me how I started getting and why I started getting offers from attorneys to sue for bad knee replacement surgeries. All of a sudden, out of the blue, I start getting those. How did they know? How did they find out that?
Man, I tell you, this is unrelated, not to cut you off, but this is super weird. I was on the computer a day or two ago, on my laptop. My fiance and I has a laptop. We were on it looking at Zillow, looking at homes for sale.
You start getting
the next day, on Facebook, on my phone, Zillow was everywhere.
Yeah.
That is incredible.
Yeah. The other day, George and I were talking. Y'all know what shot timers are. There's pretty much one company that makes one that goes on your wrist. And George and I were in the store talking about it. And they weren't on the phone or anything at the time. But the store's Instagram, the Rangers Instagram got a message. And when I pulled it up, there was a paid ad for that shot timer. And it was the first thing that popped
up.
It's
very strange. I don't like any of
that. That wasn't random.
You know, but getting back to having to use your firearm, whether you do it legally or determine that you did not do it legally, either way, you're right. There's going to be a long court battle. It's going to be very expensive. That brings up the question. There are some organizations that provide firearms owners insurance. What is your feelings on that? You pay a fee. Supposedly, if you have to be represented in court, if you do have to use your firearm, they represent you, and there is no cost for it. This picks up the cost. Is that true? Have you had any experience with anyone who has taken one of those policies and tried to make a claim on it?
I don't know of anybody that has. I've never done it myself. That's me knocking wood. I'll tell you what turns me off about most of them. At one time or another, they've all been in the store pitching me because they want me to spend 20 minutes during the class, you know, telling you, Don, you should buy this stuff. It's the greatest, whatever. Mm-hmm. Most of them, and I won't name any, so don't send me an email at the store telling me anything. Most of them operate this way. It's 40 bucks. You know, after they pitch you, it's 40 bucks a month. We get 20 bucks a month, and if you sign Devin up, the club gets 10 and you get 10 personally. That's Amway. You know, that doesn't give me a warm and fuzzy feeling.
It
I'm going to
like
have
a pyramid scheme almost.
Yeah, one day Devin's going to the Bahamas with $1 billion or whatever. They could be legit for all I know, but I don't know how much they get tested. I'll name one, the Armed Citizens Legal Defense Network. I don't have a policy through them, but they've been around the longest, and they operate totally different than that. I mean, the bottom line is you got to read it and see if it's for you. But, you know, if I'm paying you 40 bucks a month, that's what, $600, $700 a year you have to get me an attorney? that's less than an hour with one of these guys that really do it for a living. So I don't know if I want the cheapest one in the room when something happens. I sure don't when my life is, the rest of my life is on the line for it.
You know, I mean, it's a business. So like
it's
any
a business.
Business, it's just about, you know, bringing
well,
in
Well, my recommendation would be before anyone enters in any type of agreement like that, they do the research and find out about claims they've paid out and find out
right.
if, in fact, and then you can make a logical decision whether you feel the money is worthwhile to spend. But if you start getting, you know, yeah, I had to use them, but they backed out and they went away or they folded and there was a lot of stipulations in my particular case, it wasn't covered because of this or that, then you kind of have a better idea.
Right, and all of them, no matter who it is, state pretty straight off that they're going to review the details of that case before they do anything.
Right,
so
if they think for any reason
yeah.
you were wrong.
If they think I just shot Devin
doing,
in the kitchen because he was standing there, they're not going to back me up.
Yeah. All right, before we take the break, I got a text question came in. I guess this would be for you, Gavin. It says, I have a lifetime concealed carry. It's been almost 5 years. What do I need to do to requalify on the shooting part?
You got to take a whole renewal class, just like you would if you had a regular 5-year permit. Come sit through the class. At the end, we'll shoot. You got to shoot 36 times, just 6, 10, and 15 feet, 12 rounds at each distance, just like you did the first time.
All right, and let him or her know what time those classes are, what day, and how to get signed up for it.
Saturdays, we can do it Saturdays at 10:30. We do one, or I can do it any other day that I'm there. Which some people would rather as an option. If they want to do it any other day than Saturday, just call the range and ask for me. Make sure I'm there.
Very good. All right, we're going to take this break. We come back. We'll get to that gun product of the month, at least a discussion about the Glock Day. And I found something that was pretty interesting. It's the 10 reasons why firearms are good purchases. And we'll kind of go – some of them are very obvious – and some of them actually didn't really think about, but get you guys to get your opinion on them, too. We'll be right back and talk some more guns right here with Devin Burgess and Gavin Sashery. I'm Don Dubuque. Good Saturday morning from 105.3 FM HD2. All right, welcome back in. And before we get to our Glock Day Gun Product of the Month feature, I found this interesting, 10 reasons why you should buy a firearm. Some are very obvious. Some make common sense. And some of them were a little bit, you know, saying, I really never thought of that. I want to get you guys to comment on them. Number 10 reason to buy firearms. They provide hours of fun for you, family, and friends. Are guns really fun? I got to tell you, my personal experience, I regard a firearm as a tool. Whether it's one of my hunting firearms or self-protection firearm, I really don't enjoy shooting it. I shoot it because I either have to kill that duck or I need to remain proficient with it and get some target practice in. But as far as fun, it's really not. But I guess, Devin, you probably, or Gavin, you have the range. You probably see people who come in and they really enjoy it. It's an outing. It's a fun to get out and shoot the targets.
They do enjoy it. Is it fun? I think to a degree. It depends. To me, it depends on which stage you are with guns. You're like us. You've been fooling with them for a very long time, so it kind of loses its luster. To me, nothing is worse than just sitting in front of a paper target shooting 10 rounds and 10 rounds. Oh, that drives me, you know, that's terrible.
Yeah, it's like watching paint dry.
Oh, it's worse than watching paint dry. And, you know, to me, like you said, shooting ducks, it's fun to go train with guns. It's not fun to just sit there and shoot them. So I think, unless you're a beginner, but, you know, we got a guy who's 87 years old that comes in 4 times a week and he has the time of his life.
Yeah, well. You know? Devin, you had any thoughts on it?
Well, I mean, I think that it is one of those most people think of it as one of those fringe of society things, you know, that you can't talk about at parties, but everybody likes the look of a cool, you know, semi-auto rifle. And I enjoy shooting them. Mm-hmm. You know, there's nothing like buying something new and shooting it with a cool suppressor on it or getting a short barrel rifle or something.
For the first 2 months. And then just
but, I mean, like anything, Gavin's right, it loses its luster. But, yeah, a lot of people, including myself, enjoy the whole production of it. You know, it's more of a mm-hmm. stress relief to most people, including women. Women catch on to that more, I think, in my experience than men do, that it's empowering and – And, yeah, stress relief after a long day of work. But, yeah, it's enjoyable.
But it's kind of like being a mechanic. A couple of weeks ago, we had this kid.
You
got to
keep in mind, we do this all day, every day. So,
this kid was like, y'all can stay till 10:30 now and shoot on your own. You must be out of your mind.
Right. I'm not staying here till midnight.
At 8:01, I'm out of there.
Yeah. Well, like they say, it's in the beauty of the eye of the beholder. Number 9, firearms can be used to protect you, family, and friends from those who wish to harm to you and them.
That was only 9? That's 9? That should be
I don't think they're in order of popularity.
Okay.
Just 10 of them. Another one says firearms can provide food for you, family, and friends if you go hunting. I got testing that.
You can eat the family and friends?
No, you
if
eat
you
the food that the gun
oh,
produces.
I got you.
Yeah. All right, here's one that Devin's really going to appreciate. Number 7, firearms create jobs. By some estimates, more than 310,000 full-time American jobs are related directly to firearms. Per the National Shooting Sports Foundation, companies in the United States that manufacture, distribute, and sell firearms, ammunition, and hunting equipment employ as many as 149,113 people in the country and generate an additional 161,795 jobs in supplier and ancillary industries. So, economic engine.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize the amount of people employed by the firearms industry. Not only do you have ranges and gun stores, you know, and the people that are making the guns, but distribution for guns is huge. It's a very...
Yeah, I would think it was more than 300,000
right,
people.
I thought it would be a lot more than that. With all the different manufacturers, the people that represent those companies, the people that push gun products and accessories for guns, the people that sell those accessories and guns.
Yeah, and that's the licensed
distribution,
legal ones, too.
Right. And then the stores, you know, it goes from the manufacturer to the distributor.
In New Orleans, that number's significantly more, yeah.
Yeah, well, they said that it was an additional 161,795 and another 149,000 in the supplier and ancillary.
I mean, think about the people.
So now that would get it up to somewhere around, let's see, 600,000 if you add all those together.
But the people that make bullets, too, I mean, there's a lot of people just casting lead bullets, and it's a major industry bringing in a lot of money for a lot of people. A lot of people don't realize that.
And here's one that kind of goes in hand with that, number 6, that it helps the U.S. economy. Again, according to the NSFF numbers, in fact, the industry was responsible for as much as $51.41 billion in total economic activity in the country. A lot of money.
I would believe it. And that's probably down in the last 2 years over what it was the last 10.
Yeah. And here's one that I really didn't think about, and some people might think it's a stretch, but I think there's some truth to it. Firearms can teach history. Firearms have been there in battles as the first settlers came ashore to the New World when explorers crossed new lands heading west and at other pivotal points in the history of America and beyond. Some of these firearms have great national significance. You can find them on displays in museums from coast to coast. And I think if you track the history of guns, you will actually track the history of law, order, and humanity in the United States.
I don't know if you remember. A couple of years ago, it's in a forest out in California, somebody found an old lever-action rifle that had actually grown into the tree, or the tree grew into the rifle, and it had been leaned against a tree. They estimate probably in like 1860 or something like that.
Yeah.
And they were bringing school kids out there and showing them, and they wouldn't let them get too close because they didn't have any way of knowing if it was loaded or not, which I understand. But they were bringing school kids out there to show them and all kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Here's another one about firearms as an educational piece. Firearms can teach math, problem solving, and other skills necessary to be a productive person. Trajectory, velocity, foot-pounds of energy, and other calculations are common firearms-related terms and equations. Study up. I believe that's true. You know, always find kids and young people that you can't get them to do schoolwork for nothing until
but
it relates to what
gun,
they're...
Man.
Yeah, and then they're going to start figuring
that's
trajectory
velocity. There's a guy who wrote a book called The Last Punisher. He was Chris Kyle's teammate. His name is Kevin Lace. And he said when he was in Iraq, about to shoot at somebody, he said, you know, here I am, a kid that couldn't pass high school algebra, and I'm doing trig problems in my head. No paper, no pencil, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all because he wanted to do it.
Yeah. Here's number 3. Firearms ownership can result in an increase of wealth. In other words, buy a gun, get rich. The price of a firearm rarely ever goes down. And the more anti-gun laws that are passed, it seems, the more the price of firearms rise. Ammunition prices have risen even faster than home prices in most aggressive home markets in recent times. Shop and see. You're in the business, Devin. That true?
It is very true. The market as a whole, since Trump got elected, has kind of slowed down. But if you look at things that like machine guns, not many people realize, but are legal to buy if you can legally pass a background check. It's done through the ATF. You have to get a tax stamp, so there's a little more process in it. But machine guns have grown exponentially in value. We're looking at a few machine guns to order for the store. And just in the last 2 or 3 years, what used to cost, you know, $10,000 is now closer to $20,000. No stock in the world can consistently produce that kind of growth over just a few year period. Which started as, you know, $1,000, you could buy an MP5 for back in the late 80s. Now is a $35,000 machine gun. That's an incredible growth, and it's consistent because they're not making any more of them. So if you want to make consistent money over the next 10 years, dump your money in some machine guns, and that, you know, it'll grow, it'll double, triple, who knows? You know, they're not making any more of them.
Or on a smaller scale, any firearm, I mean, there's no depreciation virtually. And
right, it's very easy to get your money back out of most of those
guns. Right, if you sell a gun for less than you paid for it, you either made a bad purchase or you made a bad sale. Something's not right. It just doesn't happen. They just don't lose value.
Yeah.
Number two, firearms teach responsibility. When you introduce someone to hunting or teach firearms safety, maintenance, care, and safe storage, they learn many aspects of being a responsible firearm owner.
True.
You gotta agree with that.
Yeah. True. Most of those kids, and I think it's empowering to them too. Most of those kids that people bring in by us to shoot, 8, 9, 10 years old, they're way more well-behaved. They understand that things can go bad. You know, I'm preaching to the choir.
Teaching consequences.
Yeah, consequences.
It's odd how the human mind works. If you give people at a younger age, I see often the responsibility, you know, of having something that, like a firearm, something that can change a life very easily. They usually tend to want to, rise to that occasion. When you teach them that everything's bad and they're not old enough and not, smart enough to own anything, then it's
well, they hear
that
about everything nowadays. I think they hear that about everything nowadays, and they don't take it seriously. Mm-hmm. But kids are way more responsible, way safer, and I think it has a better impact on them than adults. Adults, you give adults a gun, it's stupid of bounds, you know.
And number one, this kind of gets back to where we started at number 10, firearms are fun. Some of the biggest smiles ever seen are when someone hits a flying skeet, punches a bullseye on paper, or downs their first deer or pheasant. Someone bought the firearm they used. Was that person you? And I got to tell you, self-satisfaction in the final end product, I have seen people making shots on animals, and they're incredibly ingratiated and just feel great about it. And I'll tell you something about women. I know more women, I guess because they never thought they could do it, who'd finally decided to go get a concealed carry permit, take a course in firearms, and when they can hit a target successfully, they are just elated. They are proud of themselves.
Yeah, and people talk about it when you teach. There's sometimes in some people there's a moment when you see things click. It doesn't happen that often, but watching it click like that is probably one of the most rewarding things, teaching wise, you can do. And it happens. Women are more vocal and visible about it than guys are, but that's why they shoot better than guys 80% of the time.
See, Devin, there are rewards to your job you never realized. You are launching people into a lifetime of fun by selling them those firearms. And wealth in some cases, too.
Yep. Yeah. We're making millionaires.
Making millionaires.
The average Joe.
You know, you have to be careful about that in this city because firearms do equate wealth in several neighborhoods around here.
Yep.
Well, that's armed robbery, but, you know.
Yeah. All right, guys, we're going to take our last break, and then I'm going to turn it over to Devin because he's going to talk about the Glock Day and the gun product of the month. For the month of June, that's what we do here on Talking Guns. We'll be right back. You're listening to Talking Guns with Devin Burgess, Gavin Sashery. I'm Don Dubuque, and I'm on 105.3 FM HD2. If you got an HD radio, if you don't, I suggest you get one. Or if not, use your desktop or your iPad or your iPhone and listen to us at DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com. And we're going to get Devin to tell us all about the Glock Day that's coming up. But before you do that, give us the rundown on the company Glock. Devin, where do they rank in the industry as far as their reputation, as far as quality of products and the volume that they do in the industry?
So to begin this segue into Glock, I first want to say that I am not personally, emotionally connected to any one brand. Having said that, Glock is by far at the top of the handgun market and industry. They make the best, most reliable, simplest handguns in the world. And if you disagree with that, it is nothing against your personality or character, but you simply have not been doing this long enough. They never, ever, ever, ever break.
No, we have
everything
two Glock 19s on that range. That
not Glock. I don't
know
80,000
rounds
it.
Without even being cleaned, and they work fine.
I mean, we don't even clean these guns most of the time. They go months without service, and they get shot multiple times a day, every day, and it's incredible.
Yeah, one of ours had a broken recoil spring, and we didn't know until he took it apart. Now, once couldn't get it back together, but it was working fine while it was broken, as long as it was in the gun.
I mean, we've seen people do terrible things to these guns, and they just keep working. I mean, when I started doing this, I didn't have any idea what, you know, how this was going to end with all these guns in one roof, cleaning them, taking care of them, if they were all going to break very quickly, if none of them were going to break. But they all break, except, man, Glocks just don't break. It's incredible.
They don't break. It's simple. There's a reason they have, I think, 80% of the law enforcement market. Most of these military units, you know, you heard a couple of years ago, hey, the Marines have 1911s. No, not really. They're all using Glock 19s. You know, they're simple. They can take the dirt. They, you know.
I mean, there's a reason that you go into any gun store in the country, and almost everybody is carrying Glocks on their person. You know, the people that work there, that has to count for something. It's not all because we love Glock and we're getting paid to push Glock. I mean, they could care less if I talk about them, probably, but, and they don't need the help. But man, they're just incredible guns. If there's only one handgun that I could choose for the rest of my life to be there when I'm 80 years old, even if I don't clean it for the next, you know, 50 years, it would be Glock. It's quite incredible. John, a gentleman that hangs out at the store, he's a good friend of ours. He during Katrina, all of his guns got underwater. You know, he was in Lakeview.
He was on Bel Air.
But he took his Glocks out of the safe that was underwater. All the guns, you know, appear to be ruined. He hosed them off and brought them to the range, and they ran fine. I mean, they're just incredible, the things you can put these guns through. So we push Glock not because of a, you know, predetermined notion to push Glock. It's because that when people come in and they want something reliable, that's from
and
our
for the
experience,
money, yeah.
Yeah, right. For the cost of what you're getting, for the quality, it's
And what
unbeatable.
People forget, since we're making a sales pitch, what people forget is this: you can go spend $1,100 on another one, and we won't name brands. If it's a polymer pistol, which probably 80 or 90% of them are nowadays, if it's a polymer pistol, it's a copy of a Glock. It's also a bad copy of a Glock, no matter who made it, because they have copyright infringements and stuff. You know, so don't get all jazzed up, and that's common with guys. They can miss the broadside of a barn, but they'll turn around and look at you and say, well, this is an HK, though. Well, okay,
yeah,
great.
The problem with a lot
of
guys is they invest so much of their ego into what gun they've chosen. That, I mean, it's almost like you're insulting them as a man to tell them that whatever they bought isn't
the
quite the same quality.
Especially.
You know, and you got to remember, too, those 1911s that everybody was buying, they don't lend themselves well to mass production. You know, they were great guns 100 years ago because they were hand-fitted by craftsmen. That's not happening,
anymore.
That design isn't made
for
mass
production.
Well, it
does. You just can spend $3,500 on a pistol.
But, yeah, Glock seems to be made for mass production, and they do a very good job of it, you know. Anyway, we have a Glock Day coming up at this weekend. Not this weekend, this coming weekend, the last weekend of June. That's the 29th and 30th and July 1st. And we do it once a year. It's really fun. Man, Glock reps come out. I'm going to try to steal Gavin either that Friday or that Sunday. I know he's got a class on Saturday, but you know, we got all of our guys together. A bunch of regulars come in. The Glock reps come in. It's really fun. It's enjoyable. We got free range time.
Shoot new models. See which one you like.
Yeah, they just released the Gen 5s a few months ago, so you can shoot those if you're unfamiliar with them. It's a good time, you know, for what is you know, a normal day selling guns. It's really enjoyable. It's fun. One of our reps from Lipsy's, who's a wonderful woman, Jenny, is going to be there helping us.
Glock will probably have lunch.
Yeah, they usually bring pizza or canes or something. We try to share the wealth as much as we can. But it's really enjoyable. It truly is to come out and, you know, and hang out with us for a little while and pick up a new gun for cheap.
So what would you say is the most popular Glock model that you sell the most? Is it one that concealed carry?
It's an easy
Glock
one.
19.
Glock 19. Yeah. We could probably keep our business open just by selling Glock 19s. Mm-hmm. It's just
us too.
The compact model.
Devin just brought us a bunch of new rental guns, new Glocks, and we kept two of the old 19s because we rent them so much. So now we got four of them, and that's what goes out way more than anything else. And it's hard to meet people that don't like it. It fits everybody's hand. It's small enough to be a concealed carry gun, even though most people don't think so, and it's big enough to be a full-size gun all at the same time.
So our gun product of the month, which is going to be a little interesting this month, it's technically the Glock 42 and 43, which is their subcompact, single-stack, concealed carry line. However, obviously, at the end of the month, all of our Glocks are going to be on sale. You're going to get a bunch of promotional items with them. So our product of the month is really a manufacturer of the month, which is Glock. But our actual product of the month technically is a Glock 42 and 43, which is their subcompact single stack line. I have a 43. Gavin has a 42. Great guns to conceal carry. It's still got that Glock recognition and name.
A lot of ladies buy that 42 because it's small enough for them to carry inside the waistband. I don't have a 43. Everybody keeps telling me I should buy one, but it's the same to me.
It's the same thing.
It's the same dimension as that Glock 26. It's just a little bit thinner, and it's not thin enough to me to make me want to run out and buy one. If it was smaller like that 42 is, if it was visibly smaller, then I might. But
that's the great thing about Glock. Anybody can find their ideal handgun because they make nothing but good working handguns.
Right.
They make them in all sizes, all flavors, all
calibers.
Here's
another advantage he's forgetting. If I stay with a regular, like say I bought a Glock 19, I can now buy three more 19s, a 26, a Glock 17, a 35, whatever it is, and they all fit in the same holsters. I don't have to run out and buy holsters, different holsters, which can add $100 to the price of a firearm, you know, depending on what you want to do with it. It doesn't translate when you get down to the single stack stuff like the 43 or the 42, but the big ones all fit in the same holster. It gets to spoil you.
Yeah.
And what is the most popular caliber and type ammunition?
9mm.
9mm.
Mm-hmm.
That 40 caliber is slowly becoming a dinosaur, and 45 is still great, but I mean, that's a bigger handgun. You know, a lot of first-time shooters, women especially, they don't want that big, full-size, huge, fat frame.
So
9 and 45. 40 is slowly dying off. But 9mm by far is the most common handgun round, you know, in the United States.
And what's the most popular holster?
That's an interesting one. So holsters are very, very individualized. You know, it's kind of like saying your favorite style of clothing or your favorite color T-shirt. It's very individualized to the carrier. I have an inside-the-waistband holster that is a flashbang. They originally made brassiere holsters for women. I like the inside-the-waistband male, obviously, holster that they make. But it's just what you're going to be wearing, you know, if you wear your shirt tucked in a lot, if you don't.
Everybody makes holsters now. Everybody.
Right.
It's not like, I know Don remembers, in the old days, there was about four companies you could really get something worth a damn from. The rest of them were terrible.
Right.
I still have a Galco leather holster, and it's outside the waistband, but it's 21 years old.
That's a nice holster.
Yeah, Devin wants to buy it.
I always like that.
You know, it's 21 years old. That's the one I use the most. It hasn't gone bad. The edges haven't rolled up, anything like that. And, you know, one of these new plastic cool kid holsters, you're not going to have it 21 years. Something's going to happen to it. The screws will come loose, whatever. It just depends. It just really depends.
How about purses and briefcase? How popular are those?
I don't really like carrying purses that much. People make fun of me when I go out in the public with it.
You don't see them all that much. Purses for women, you do, but it's very slow. You usually a draw from a purse runs about 3 seconds on somebody with experience and practice. For most people, it's going to be longer than that. And that whole shoot them through the purse or shoot them through the backpack thing is just about impossible to do. You know,
a lot
if you
of
hang
times
something
when
on
you
your
get
hand
stolen
like that,
too,
yeah.
is what they're trying to steal is your purse. Right. You know? So when they take it, they got your gun now too, unless you.
Yeah, and
are
just
very,
hanging stuff on your
aware.
Hand like that and pointing, you lose that whole index in your finger to your eye from your brain thing, and it's. It's frustrating because you think you're pointing like right at the guy's head and you're shooting down towards the floor. You're shooting up into the ceiling. It's,
Devin, what time should people plan to come to the Glock Day next weekend?
They can come anytime we're open. We're open for the Glock Day is Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So the store will be open from 10 to 8 Friday and Saturday and 11 to 6 on Sunday. The range will reflect those hours but stay open an hour later during the week. They'll be open till 8. But, yeah, come by any time we're open. As soon as we open the doors to the minute we close them, we're going to be pushing those Glocks at a really significantly discounted price. I think you save anywhere from $50 to $80 on, you know, and you get a T-shirt and some range time. So it's significant. It's very significant savings if you choose to buy a Glock that weekend. But, yeah, anytime we're open, 10 to 7. The range is open from 10 to 8. But 10 to 7 Friday and Saturday, and 11 to 6 on Sunday.
And Gavin, to get a class scheduled?
To get a class scheduled, either come in the Shooters Club and talk to them if you want something private. Talk to them, tell them to ask for me. If I'm not there, I'll be glad to talk to them, make appointments, all that kind of stuff. If you just want to take a concealed carry class, show up around 10:30. We'll start at 11 on a Saturday. You don't have to make reservations in advance. Just show up around 10:30. Kind of Southwest Airlines registration, and we'll get started around 11
to
end around 8 o'clock.
Class every Saturday for like what the last
since Mike has
years?
Opened
or 12 years since Katrina. I mean, we haven't missed a Saturday, I don't think.
Even before that, he was doing them on every single Saturday. Yeah. So, it's there, it goes from 11 to 8. No, we're not going to sell your certificate like the dummy who got arrested, and you know.
I mean, you don't want that anyway. You want to take the class and get your money's worth out of the class.
Well, you would
I don't
think.
Understand the people that want just you to give them a certificate and give you money. I never understood that.
Well, they might believe that until they take the class and they see what's in it.
Yeah,
you know,
they
it's
know
a good, interesting class. I've sat through it a few times.
They know everything until they actually find out something, then they get scared.
Good way to put it. Yeah. All right, guys, it's about time to wrap it up. We'll be back again next month, and I guess you know you should be able to get several good gun product interviews at this gun product day with the reps being there.
Yep, I'm gonna talk to them on that. On that device, that listen and recording device that I got as much as I can.
All right, guys. Always a pleasure. Thanks
all
for
right,
being
Don.
With us. And,
you get that knee healed.
Time. It's on the way, man. It's on the mend. Hope I can make it there to Glock Day.
Yeah.
Come see you guys.
All right.
All right, that's going to wrap it up. By the way, I'm checking on Facebook right now, and our Bayou Wild TV now has 1,915 likes. If you are the 2,000th, you get Martha Spencer's prize package, so don't delay. Go to BayouWildTV.com or go to Bayou Wild TV on Facebook and like our TV show, and hopefully you'll watch it. Coming up in about 30 minutes, it'll be on Cox Sports TV, Channel 37, or watch it on YouTube anytime, anywhere. We'll see you next week. Have a great weekend. Stay cool, stay dry, and catch some fish, and we'll talk about it next week.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.